Happy Sabbath to each one of you. It is a privilege to be able to speak to you on the Lord's Sabbath day. There's a few things that I'd like to share with you that the Lord has placed on my heart with regards to what we see happening today in America. What is happening here is also happening all over the world, so it's not something that's just unique to our experience. There's a phrase that is used in a lot of the children's stories, you know, the little make-believe stories. The phrase that says, once upon a time. Have you ever heard of that phrase? Once upon a time. Well, sadly, once upon a time in America, we used to believe that we were placed on this earth for a reason. There was a time when people actually believed that God had a divine plan for all of us. Americans used to be a free people who found faith and purpose in their Maker. Sadly, this experience and this history that used to exist is unraveling. And the following words, taken from the book of Romans chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, describe the current state of our people. It says, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. All these things were reminded in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All these things happen as examples and are written for our admonitions. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we may not be focusing on the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the acts of terror and the crimes and the wars that are still taking place. Those things have not diminished, but we seem to be focused on the coronavirus crisis, that it has caused us to not notice that all the rest of the signs are still transpiring in our world. And many people are saying that there's nothing unique, there's nothing special, there's nothing significant happening in our world today. But the Word of God reveals that these events, along with all the others, mean much more. God's Word reveals that prophecy is in fact being fulfilled. We are told that these are the last days when earth's harvest is ripening for something bigger and much more solemn. We have been warned that while the sweet, restraining Spirit of God is speaking to the hearts of men, it will also be gradually removed from our world. And when that happens, we're told that calamities and disasters will become more frequent and more intense. I'm reading here from the book of Desire of Ages, page 636. It says, the Spirit of God is withdrawing from the earth, and calamities follow calamity by sea and by land. There are tempests, earthquakes, fire, floods, murders of every grade. Now, I believe that there are plagues. I believe that there are judgments, not because the media tells me there is or there isn't, but because God's Word has declared it. Jesus describes the signs of the end time, and he describes these events, and that's why we believe that they do exist. Maranatha, page 25, we read, soon grievous troubles will arise among the nations, trouble that will not cease until Jesus comes. So, brothers and sisters, something out of the ordinary is happening. We're not just talking about the average, regular signs that we've been seeing for ages. We're talking about things that we have never seen before. Something out of the ordinary is happening to our planet. There is a much bigger story that is playing out behind the scenes. There's a reason why plagues and the signs of the end time are increasing and intensifying. We're told in the book of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down upon you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. Brothers and sisters, as the end of probationary time approaches, there will be increase in destructive activities on our planet. The Bible tells us that Satan will work like never before when he sees that his time is coming to an end. Isaiah chapter 24, verses 4 and 5 says, "The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languishes and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, have changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant." The thin line that divides civility and anarchy is rapidly disappearing in America. Daily, we are being drawn closer into a new political divide that is polarizing our nation. There used to be a time, you look at the crisis of World War II, where we had a common enemy and our nation did come together to confront and to meet the challenge. We saw that happen also right after 9/11. The terrorist attacks in September 11 caused our nation to set aside their differences, to unite on a common cause, and to confront what was determined to be their enemy. But today, we can't even come together to deal with the situation that is currently confronting us. Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 10. He says that many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. When did we as a nation stop debating ideas about religion and politics? When did we come to a place where it has become common for our citizens to despise and to hate one another? This is not just happening in politics. Oh, friends, this is happening in the churches. This is happening in homes, in families. We used to be able to agree to disagree. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 11, tells us what the cause behind this political divide that will not allow our nation to come together to confront the crisis. It says, "The Spirit of God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. Plagues and judgments are already falling upon the despisers of the grace of God. The calamities by land and sea," now here it is, "the unsettled state of society and the alarms of war." Now, what is causing the unsettled state of society that we are seeing today? Does Volume 9 of the testimony say that it's the president or the administration or the Republicans or the Democrats or this group? Or no, friends. It says the Spirit of God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. And that is what precipitates the plagues, the disasters, the pain, the misery, and the unsettled state of society. Now, you can try to pinpoint that and say, well, we think this party's more responsible, and we think that party's more responsible. But really, what it comes down to, friends, is that there are angels that are holding back the winds of strife. It is God who restrains our world from becoming chaotic and disastrous. You can read that in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." You know, brothers and sisters, it is because of God's mercy and grace and his sweet restraining spirit that we have a nation that we can wake up to every morning. It is because God is still on the throne and he's still in control and he still has a work that must be done, a message to every nation, kindred, and tongue. And that is the reason why our world, as bad as it is, has not self-destructed. Because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. But we are approaching a period unlike anything we have ever seen before. If anyone had told me 6 months ago that churches would be closed and pastors would be arrested and church members fined for holding church services in America, I would have never believed it. Think about that. If I would have told you 6 months ago that our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, our amendments would become null and void simply because some person in authority declared them non-essential, would you have believed me? Who would have imagined this? If 6 months ago I would have said not only would churches be closed and pastors be arrested and church members fined and our loss of our Constitution and our rights would take place, if I would have told you that not only would this happen, but that conservative Christians, Adventists would say, well, you know, we do need to be safe, so I guess it's okay. You would have never believed it. I wouldn't have believed it. But yet, brothers and sisters, that is what we see happening today. Federal judges, government officials, politicians, and bureaucrats across our nation have declared churches as non-essential and have been ordered to close. And this is happening across the country, in many communities, even across the world. You know, just recently, you may have heard or read the story about the pastor in Florida who was charged with an unlawful assembly. They said that he was in violation of a public health emergency order. In other words, the church gathering was declared unsafe. So you can have your faith. You can have your First Amendment rights. You can practice your religion. One of the most sacred privileges and liberties that we have in America. You can have it all, but only if it has been declared safe by someone in authority. If it has been declared unsafe, then your First Amendment rights, your Bill of Rights, and all your other rights, they go out the window, and government will make an example out of you, as they did to this pastor in Florida. Now, here's the sad part, and here's the tragic part. While this is happening, federal judges on Monday in Texas, Alabama, and Ohio, they lifted bans that had been placed on abortion during this coronavirus crisis. See, there were some governors, you know, I don't want to make this a political discussion, but there were some Republican governors that had placed bans on abortion during this crisis because certain businesses that were deemed non-essential were closed, and those that were declared essential remained open. And in these states, Republican governors said abortion is not essential, and so they closed the abortion clinics. But the federal judges came back just this past Monday, and they lifted the ban against abortions because abortions are essential. You don't have permission to close down abortion clinics. There were some Democratic governors that already had abortions listed as essential, and therefore their clinics did remain open. But in other states where Republican governors said they're non-essential, well, the federal courts have overruled that. And so churches are not essential and have been closed with the strong arm of the state. And if you gather for worship, you can be arrested and fined. How do we tolerate this? How do you justify this? So many conservative Christians are okay with this. So many people just go along with this without any kind of questions or any concerns. Now, here's the hypocrisy that they're not going to tell you about. You see, the reason why they've closed down non-essential businesses is because the CDC's order demands or requires social distancing. But the question is, how do abortion clinics practice social distancing? How is it that an abortion clinic can abide with the CDC's order for social distancing, which their recommendations say you stay 6 feet away from other people? Well, how do you do that in an abortion clinic? How does a nurse or the doctor keep the recommended distance of 6 feet away from the mother while they're killing the baby? Can you stay 6 feet away from the mother and still perform an abortion? It doesn't make any sense. We're living in a new day in America where the government can make up the rules regardless of the Constitution. That's what we see happening all across our nation. They just make up the rules and they apply the rules any way they want to. Some churches are fine with the streaming of their services and everyone staying home and getting online to stay connected. And that's fine if that's what you choose to do. But the question is, can some churches, if they choose to, can they sit 6 feet apart with each other with masks and with gloves and with all the other types of precautions? Can they do that too? Can churches practice social distancing between members? Can churches operate drive-in services where everyone keeps their window up and they all park out like, you know, the old drive-in movie theaters? And then the pastor or the preacher is on some kind of platform far away preaching the gospel to the congregation. Can churches not be allowed to exercise safe practices just as they do in the grocery store? You know, in the grocery stores, you have all kinds of people standing next to each other in line. And they're much more closer, congregating as they try to pay. But yet, we can do that. That's okay because the government said so. I can go into the grocery store 10 times a day. That's okay, according to the government. You can go to the liquor store. You can go to the marijuana dispensary. You can go to an abortion clinic. And that's okay. Even though an abortion clinic violates the CDC's recommendation of staying 6 feet apart from each other. They are violating the CDC's recommendation, but yet that's okay. But going to church is not. For those who want to. For those who want to either have a drive-in church or for those who want to practice social distancing even within a church setting with the gloves and with the masks. The same gloves and masks that the clerks have to use in the grocery stores and in the liquor stores and in the marijuana dispensaries. Brothers and sisters, we have never seen anything like this before. We have never shut down the country like we're seeing today. It's never been done for anything. And have you seen the lines of people waiting to pick up food items at the local food banks? You know, I've seen the videos in Florida and in Texas and in other places of lines. I have seen the lines of people waiting to pick up food items a mile and in some cases 2 miles long. You see the cars after cars, rows of cars as far as your eye can see. And how long are they waiting? How many hours are they waiting to pick up a couple of food items? Up to 10 hours a day? We're seeing these lines of people in desperation trying to obtain something to feed their families after only, 3 weeks of our nation being shut down? And the projections that we hear is that we want to close down for another 2 months? Brothers and sisters, if liquor stores are allowed to be open with gloves and the masks and social distancing, if grocery stores are allowed to be open with the gloves and the masks and social distancing, if abortion clinics are allowed to be open, well, I don't know how they do social distancing, but if they're allowed to be open, why not allow some businesses to open and follow the same precautions so that people can get back to work and feed their families? Oh, brothers, I don't even want to imagine what the condition of our nation is going to be in 2 months with the food shortages. I don't think that the people will have the patience to wait 2 months. I want to close by reading from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 26 to 28. And this has to do with the signs of the times. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. What happened? Thomas fell to his knees after seeing all the signs and all the evidence. He cried out to the Lord and acknowledged and confessed the sovereignty of God. This is what we must do as we see the signs of the times being fulfilled. And while sin is being legalized, while liberties are becoming null and void, while lawlessness and godlessness are being celebrated, God's people must throw off the shackles of trying to please everyone. And we must preach the everlasting gospel of Christ in context to Revelation 14, verses 6 to 12. We must preach these messages in all their fullness, which is the answer to all the wickedness and the tyranny we are seeing today. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, for your care and for your protection. We thank you for the warnings that you have given to us in your word, that we do not have to be wondering what is happening and what will be the end. We know that all these things will culminate in your glorious return. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be ready, and help us, Lord, to do all we can to get others ready for this glorious event. That is our prayer and our desire. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.